Not all people who pray for healing expect results, but some do. And the question of whether prayer works has been the subject of some controversial research in recent years. Jeff Levin, an epidemiologist in Lawrence, Kansas, has followed that research closely.
There have in the past, oh, I'd say 15 years or so, been somewhere in the order of about 190 to 200 studies that have been done. And these have been, some of them have actually been randomized, controlled, double-blinded trials, almost like pharmaceutical trials. And some of them, maybe about half, seem to have shown a significant result, such that the people that were prayed for got better or had less of whatever the disease was that was being looked at.
Somewhat less controversial than those studies is the claim that people who pray are healthier than people who don't. Psychiatrist Harold Koenig of Duke University's Center for the Study of Religion, Spirituality, and Health says there's research to show that.
People who pray more regularly tend to cope better. They deal better with medical illnesses. People who are hospitalized, who pray more, who use religion as a coping behavior, are less likely to be depressed. They have lower blood pressure. They also tend to live longer. We've done a study looking at older adults and comparing those who were healthy versus those who were sick. And among those who were healthy and who prayed regularly, they lived significantly longer than other healthy older adults who didn't pray.
Dr. Koenig acknowledges that people who pray may be shorthand for people who belong to a religious congregation and benefit from the support of a community, but he says the fact that it's a religious community is significant. He offers this example. You're a member of a bridge club. You get sick and you don't show up with your bridge-playing friends.
They would probably call you and check on you and say, hey, how come you didn't show up? You know, your chair was empty. The question is, you know, would they bring you over a meal? Would they come and offer to do your laundry? Would they come and offer to take you for a ride to the doctor's office? And if they did that, how long would it last? You see, people who are part of a faith community do those things because they feel that God has called them to do that.
Dr. Koenig's work strikes psychologist Richard Sloan as methodologically unsound. The claim that people who pray live longer? Well, Dr. Sloan, who is a professor at Columbia University, says science just hasn't proven that.
And the way to definitively nail it down is to conduct the study again and specifically predict that private religious behavior in those who are healthy, in contrast to those who are already disabled in one way or another, will lead to decreased mortality. And if you repeat the findings, science always depends upon repetition and replication. No single paper is ever definitive in science in any field. You need to repeat the finding over and over and over again in different settings until you are reasonably confident that it's a real finding.
And the allegedly real finding that prayer benefits the people who are being prayed for? Dr. Sloan says studies that purport to show that are typically flawed. For example, there's an oft-cited 1988 experiment conducted by Randolph Bird in San Francisco. Bird assigned Christian prayer intercessors to pray for half the patients in a coronary care unit. By six outcome measurements, the group that was prayed for fared better than the group that wasn't. But, as Professor Sloan points out, those were 6 out of 29 outcome measurements that were studied.
If you continue to measure one index after another, for example, the requirement for antibiotics, the requirement for cardioversion, or the requirement for other medical interventions in the coronary care unit, sooner or later you will get something that achieves a level of statistical significance. But by continuously repeating those tests, you achieve that effect by chance. And that's what happened in the Bird study. The effects are entirely attributable to chance.
But Dr. Koenig of Duke has more research findings to cite and a pretty radical suggestion. He observes that hospital patients frequently blame God for the unfairness of their illness. He says most get past that feeling.
What we found, though, is that people who get stuck feeling angry at God, questioning God, they actually have a significantly worse health outcome after they are discharged from the hospital. There's a significant increase in mortality.
But how does one go about identifying those people who harbor resentment at the unfairness of God and those who think this is part of God's creation that I'm in rehab for several weeks? How do you actually decide these people belong in group A and that one belongs in group B?
Well, you do have to take a bit of a spiritual history. I think doctors need to ask patients whether or not they are religious and whether or not that is a source of comfort or whether that is a source of stress.
Now, Dr. Koenig's idea of doctors taking a spiritual history of their patients is an example of what psychologist Richard Sloan finds unethical in the search for links between faith and healing. It's unethical, he says, for three reasons. First, start asking patients about their spiritual beliefs, and there's a risk of religious coercion. Second reason, it's an invasion of privacy.
And then the third is actually doing harm. Even in the 21st century, patients still suffer from age-old folk wisdoms about personal and moral responsibility for illness. And when you make pointed inquiries about spirituality and religion as it relates to health outcomes to such patients, it's very easy for them to draw conclusions that they've been insufficiently devout, insufficiently faithful, and that's why they're sick. Long before I was actually interested in this field and I was doing research in oncology, I was visiting a patient in a semi-private room. Both of the young women were waiting for the results of gynecologic biopsies. And while I was interviewing this one patient, the biopsy result came back for the other patient. Her family was assembled around her, and the biopsy was negative. Her father exclaimed to nobody in particular, merely out of relief, that they were good people. They deserved this. It's perfectly understandable for a father to say that when receiving good news. But what was the young woman I was interviewing supposed to say to herself when her biopsy came back positive? Was she supposed to say, I'm a bad person, that's why I got cancer? It's bad enough to be sick. It's worse still to be gravely ill. But to add to that, the burden of moral failure is simply unconscionable. But that's the risk that arises when you link religious pursuits to health outcomes.
Psychologist Richard Sloan of Columbia University. We also heard from Dr. Harold Koenig of Duke University. Jeff Levin, the epidemiologist, says this debate has taken an interesting twist. At first, he says, studies purporting to show the efficacy of prayer generated enthusiasm among the groups whose prayers were studied.
Lately, there have been some studies that have shown that it's not just the prayers of, for example, evangelical Christians or Catholics that seem to work, but there have been studies of Buddhists and Jews and religious science practitioners, and that's caused a lot of the early supporters of this research to get very nervous, because it seems that if there is a healing effect of prayer, according to research, it's no respecter of what one's religion is.
Tomorrow, our series on prayer continues with a story about the very lucrative business of prayer.